The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Got opening day plans? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I remember I cut a thing for, was that ESPN LA guys? Raj, Brendan, last week about opening day when I encouraged children to cut school for opening day.
Oh, that was ESPN 710 when our good friend Tommy sent that over to get you.
Right. And I got everything right except one detail because I looked it up. It wasn't Tommy John who started. It was Rick Roden who started. And don't get me started on that, Rick Roden. They traded Doug Drabek for him. Oh, it's still a sore spot. Opening day is so great because no matter how your team is doing, and in L.A. and New York and certain markets, they're really, you know, for good reason, very hopeful. But no matter how your team is doing, no one's out of it yet. You know, anything could happen. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. But COVID has already affected 2021, the Major League Baseball season in 2021, that is. Going to get to that in a second. I'm coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The Washington Nationals opener and the second game versus the New York Mets is postponed due to COVID issues. MLB said that, quote, out of an abundance of caution. I love that expression, an abundance of caution. Friday's game would also not be played. Nationals GM Mike Rizzo said on Wednesday that his club would be down five players and a staff member for opening day after a player tested positive for COVID-19. Sources tell ESPN's Jeff Passan that there are concerns of at least one more positive COVID-19 test with the Nats. Next game scheduled between the Nats and the Mets is on Saturday. Look, they're going to have to get through it. Here's the good news. There's an end in sight. There's an end in sight. 100 million doses of the vaccine, 100 million Americans have had at least one dose of the vaccine. There, you know, it looks like there's going to be a surplus in the next month or so of the vaccine. They're working on, like, remedies if you do get COVID that alleviate symptoms, like Tamiflu for the flu. Things are looking up. But in the meantime, I think people start to let their guard down a little bit, right? People feeling confident, and then it can spread a little more, and it's going to interrupt the season from time to time. Hopefully not by the later half of the season, though, like as we get into the, you know, late August, September, hopefully by then things will be really under control. I'm a baseball fan. Like, here's the problem with baseball. It's not a national sport. It's a local sport. Like, if you follow the NBA or the NFL, you know everything about every team, right? You know what all the teams are up to. Not everything about every team, but you know about every team, and you actually care. In the NBA, you care about the good teams, and there are a lot of them. Major League Baseball, you care about your home team. That's it. That's it. Like, tons of baseball fans don't know the league very well except for when they play their home team. So for national shows on TV and the radio, baseball doesn't work. Because if you're talking about one team, no one else in the country other than the people in that market are interested. Now, local baseball is great because people actually, the economy of baseball is enormous. Sometimes, though, there is a team that is such a juggernaut, they really garner national attention. And the Dodgers are like that right now. And the question is not only can the Dodgers repeat as champions, the question is, can they break the all-time wins record? Because they were on pace to do it in the abbreviated COVID season last year, 2020. They added Trevor Bauer. Clayton Kershaw is maybe their third best pitcher. They have a bunch of guys under 25, 26 years old who are like ace stuff. David Price is in the bullpen. I just want to say something about that record, though. And I'm a Yankees fan. I want to say something about that record. Like, I moved to L.A. to do L.A. radio bunch of years back. I gave up my Knicks. To hell with them. What did they ever do for me? I ain't never given up my Yankees. Love my Yankees. First love is a team sport. Baseball. Yankees, greatest team of all time. But when people talk about the all-time wins record, they talk about 116 games because Seattle did that. Well, I don't remember, 2000, 2001, something like that. Who cares? I was at Yankee Stadium the day in the playoffs. They eliminated the Mariners. So, obviously, the Mariners did not set the record. It's a worthless regular season record. If they were good enough, they would have kept playing. They'd broken the real record, which is 125 wins set by the 1998 New York Yankees. You got to win 125 games before the end of the World Series to beat the Yankees record. Dodgers could possibly do it. It'd take a lot of luck. You will not only have to be awesome, you have to be lucky. But it's possible. This team is stacked. Meantime, so much going on today. Not only opening day. North Carolina, the Tar Heels, Roy Williams, retired. After 33 seasons. Three NCAA championships, 903 wins. Could you imagine replacing? He didn't replace, like, as in he came right after, like, he was the next coach in as a head coach, Dean Smith. But basically, he had a couple guys in between, coached a couple years. Basically, he replaced Dean Smith, right? Within five or six years, he was the guy in, 6-7 years, whatever it was. And could you imagine being the next long-tenured coach after Dean Smith and carving out your own legacy comparable? 2005, 2009, 2017, if you have ESPN Plus, you're seeing it. It's up on the screen now. Three-time national champion. Now, he didn't go to as many Final Fours as Dean Smith, who has two national championships. But, man, what a career. It's like, you know, teams that can, you know, Aaron Rodgers replacing Brett Favre or Mickey Mantle replacing Joe DiMaggio. Well, that's hard. Or maybe it's more like, you know, there's a bigger gap, but Lakers have Magic Johnson for all those years, and then they get Kobe Bryant. I mean, it wasn't right on the heels of Magic, but you get the idea. You hear what Joe Biden, President Biden, said in an interview with Sage Steele, which will run in the 11 o'clock Sports Center tonight on ESPN2, about the idea of, like, the Texas Rangers operating at full capacity in terms of fans in the stands and on the safety of fans at MLB games. Listen to the President of the United States talk about this.
Well, there's not so much up in the air if we listen. What I was able to do is get over 600 million doses of the vaccines available, the three vaccines. When I announced, I've only been in office a little over 100 days, not quite 100 days, and I announced we're going to make sure we did 100 million shots. We're going to be up to 200 million. We have 600 million vaccinations available. And so we have enough to begin to vaccinate everybody in the entire United States. But people have to be responsible. They have to continue in the meantime to wear masks when they're around someone, but have to wash your hands and keep social distancing. And so it's going to be a little while. But God willing, the way the vaccines are getting out now and the way we're working, I think we ought to be able to, as I set a goal, that by the 4th of July, I'd be able to at least have a small barbecue in the backyard with family, and by the time we get into the fall, hopefully things are moving. I don't think early in the baseball season it's going to happen, though.
Oh, all I can tell you, it is refreshing to have the adults back in charge. That is a responsible point of view. You know, we just came out of a period where there were simply, and by the way, I had a very interesting call on Tuesday's show by a guy who basically felt what I was saying was antagonistic. And rather than join the antagonism, said, like, presented himself as really a good faith, someone of good faith who simply disagreed and didn't want to feel insulted. And I understand that. I'm sensitive to that. But there's no other way to put it. I mean, you can go back and listen to sound bites of the period we just came out of. People, one in particular, who was in charge, and the things they were saying about COVID were so grossly irresponsible and ignorant that to hear someone say now in charge, wait, I know we've kind of been conditioned to think, hey, full steam ahead. But in fact, it's not the way to go. Not just for health, by the way, but for our economy. Because if it gets worse again, then in fact, there are no even long-term economic benefits to hurrying up, right? And you have negative health outcomes. I think President Biden is right. People should be careful. Now, I also think if we are, we're back in business. Like, I think Biden was then under-promising in order to over-deliver, right? So he said 100 million vaccinations, and then, we're going to hit 200. And he says in the fall, we'll kind of be back to normal. I don't know. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about the upcoming fall. I think even maybe by midsummer. You know, the question is how much of like the anti-vaxxer culture has gotten a hold of everybody, because that would be a disaster. But I think we're going to come out of this okay, and I think baseball is going to be a lot of fun in the fall. I mean, it's great to have it back now. It is great to have baseball back now, especially with, you know, things that – did you hear the – I mean, look, I like Francisco Lindor, right? I don't know if I like him $341 million over 10 years, but the Mets do, and they are making moves. The Mets are making moves.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
The Mets spent over $500 million this offseason. That was the biggest spender by far. But the Padres spent almost $400 million, and the Padres are a powerhouse. You know, like the Mets, little brother to the Yankees, spent a $500 million. And the Padres, sort of little brother to the Dodgers, along with the Angels, spent the next most, $400 million. And the Mets and Padres are real contenders. And baseball's in good shape. Season should be a lot of fun. You know what else has been a lot of fun this basketball season? Kendrick Perkins joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Perk!
What's up, Max?
What's going on, Perk? ESPN NBA analyst, of course. NBA champion, Kendrick Perkins. Frequent sparring partner of mine on both TV and the radio. Perk, I'm looking at this Western Conference. Before I even get to the threat to the Lakers, try this one, okay? This Western Conference right now is in the conversation for toughest conference of all time. To that, you say what?
I agree. This is the first time in a long time that I really don't have a clear-cut favorite of who's coming out of the West, Max. And when you look at it, it's actually five teams that has a strong possibility of coming out of the West or could come out of the West. That's the Los Angeles Clippers, the Denver Nuggets, the Phoenix Suns, the Portland Trailblazers, and the Los Angeles Lakers went healthy. Those five teams, or the Utah Jazz, that's six teams.
Yeah, by the way, I think before Portland, the Mavericks, too, to tell you the truth. I think when Porzingis, if he can stay healthy, they're going to be a load. I mean, you're talking about seven teams.
No, Max. First of all, the ceiling for the Mavs, okay, is the conference finals, okay? They're not making it out of the conference, all right?
Perk, if you get to the conference finals.
But Max, that's their ceiling. I'm not saying that they're going to reach the conference finals. I'm saying their ceiling.
Don't let Porzingis
is the
get
conference
rolling.
Finals.
I hear you, though. Go ahead. I hear you. They're the sleeper. Go ahead.
And listen, I get it. Luka is a flat-out stud. But I do worry about his supporting cast, and they lack of consistency, right? Tim Hardaway Jr., you don't know if you're going to get 3 points or 20 points out of him every single night. He hasn't been consistent. His Porzingis hasn't been consistent. Jalen Brunson, I mean, you could go down the line.
Yeah, it's true.
I just don't trust the others, right? I don't trust Richardson. I don't know who's going to step up through a seven-game series. Or 2 7-game series.
I like Kleba and Dorian Finney-Smith, but those are not guys going to go get their own shots like you're talking about. Okay, let's put Dallas aside for a second. I really think if Porzingis gets rolling, they're going to be a load. But you just mentioned other teams. Utah, they're great. I mean, they thought they were going to die on that plane last night. They had to make an emergency landing, and dudes were talking to each other like, this might be it. Land the plane. Donovan Mitchell doesn't get back. I'm going back up there. And doesn't get back on the next plane. And they play a team where Ja Morant goes off, right? Because he can do that. And they still win. Utah's got character.
Yep. Yes, they got major character. And here it is, right? They didn't play this team, the Memphis Grizzlies, I think three straight times.
Yep.
So they played them twice in Utah, had the flight situation where, you know, they had to go through all that, went to Memphis without their best player and still smacked them. I mean, this team is for real, man. They got great depth. You know, Bogdanovich is an unsung hero. Me and you both feel a certain type of way about Royce O'Neal, the way he plays the game. But their bench and Jordan Clarkson and, you know, Ingles, they are extremely deep. They're bought in on the defensive end. And offensively, they pass up good shots to get great shots.
Now, there's no doubt that they play great basketball. I want to home in on not Portland. A lot of people talk Portland. I don't believe in Portland. I believe in Damian Lillard. I don't believe in Portland. Before I even get to the Suns, the Nuggets. Here's why I think the Nuggets are flying a little under the radar, Perk. Because we look at guys like Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell. And in the regular season, those dudes are better than Jamal Murray, period. They're just better. But when it matters most, Jamal Murray's as good as anyone in the game, basically. Like, he lost his mind last year in the playoffs. So if that dude is an MVP caliber player, and so is Jokic in the playoffs, the way Porter Jr. is scoring, and then you add to that Aaron Gordon, like, this team beat Utah and the Clippers last year. You mean to tell me you add Aaron Gordon, you're taking a step back? They're live, Perk. Denver's live.
No, they are live, but what's not live is how you're just overpraising Jamal Murray. Okay, he had one great playoff run. One. He had one great playoff run, Max. We're not about to sit up here and jump the gun. He has to do this consecutive seasons and consecutive playoffs before we could just say when it matters the most, we could always count on Jamal Murray. No, that happened one time. He has to do that again for me to be sold on it. And I can't believe you're sitting up here being sold on one playoff performance. It took Kawhi to do it three times or whatever the case may be. It took him two or three times to show you that when it matters the most, you could depend on Kawhi Leonard. And here you are, 1 year, you're jumping
because, you know, Perk, normally, look, you might be right. Maybe I'll look back in retrospect, say, no, it was one good series. It was the bubble or something weird about whatever. But sometimes you get a sense about a dude, and then he backs it up with his play in the playoffs. And that was not just one good playoff series, Perk. That's one of the greatest playoff series for as long as he was in it that anyone has ever had in any sport. Like, are you forgetting what Jamal Murray did? Like, I want to look up Raj, look up what Jamal Murray did in the playoffs last year, please. Game by game, it was like 50 points, no turnovers, Perk. He lost his mind. And then, he lost it. So did Donovan Mitchell. Oh, it was so great. Now we get to the Suns. Devin Booker did the same thing. Like, Devin Booker is an amazing player. And when I look at this Phoenix team and everything they have, they went 8-0 in the bubble and then have gotten better since then, including adding, Chris Paul, DeAndre, which has accelerated DeAndre Ayton's development. I think Phoenix is as live as anyone, Perk.
But, Max, I told you that before the season started.
Yeah, but
you
when
remember?
I say it, then I take credit for it when I say it.
I never said, look, when you have said something which is, you know, slim to none, is almost never something right, I always give you credit for it, okay? But what I'm telling you,
You always give me credit. I sometimes give you credit, and sometimes I take credit.
Right, but Max, I'm the one that told y'all that Phoenix was going to be a force to be reckoned with. I told you that before the season.
But I prefer to think of it that I thought of it that way. No, I'm playing Perk, but I agreed with you about Phoenix. I agree with you about Phoenix, and the point was adding Chris Paul not only gives them, talking to Kendrick Perkins, of course, here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, not only gave them one of the most dynamic and best backcourts in the league, but the influence on DeAndre Ayton. And then a lot of teams have 3-and-D guys in theory, but these dudes have catch-and-shoot 3-and-D guys who can really defend, like Bridges and Cam Johnson, and Saric can play, and not to mention Swiss
Jay
Army
Crowder.
Knife. Huh? Jay Crowder, right. Not to mention Jay Crowder. I mean, when you said, Perk, that this is the first time or one of the few times it's like, I really don't know who to pick. Usually it's because basketball's not up to luck. You know who the best teams are. It's just they got so many loaded teams now. There's too many loaded teams.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about it is that teams are committed on the defensive end. Like, I'm watching the Denver Nuggets now after the trade deadline. Aaron Gordon is coming in, and they have been smacking people, Max. Yep. And I mean smacking people. We haven't even been close. I'm looking at the box scores, and I'm seeing 7 or 8 Denver Nugget players in double figures. That means the ball is moving around. Guys are cutting without the ball. And Jokic, you know, I said this the other day on my Twitter. Jokic, when it's all said and done, he's going to be a top 20 center of all time. He may be a top 10 center of all time.
Who
I
knows
mean,
where it ends
this
with him.
Is, yeah, I mean, I just see him playing at this level because this is a guy that don't rely on his athleticism. So he can play at this level for at least the next 10 years.
Good for him. Hey, why couldn't you do that, Perk? When you see a guy like Jokic, how do you slide? Oh, I'm just a role player. I can't jump. When you see this dude doing it, why couldn't you do all these things?
Well, Max, I'm going to tell you why. First of all, but I didn't get a chance to get the torch passed to me, okay? I had to become a role player at an early age or I was going to get traded.
Right.
Because when KG and the Big Three formed, I was 24 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have time. I didn't have time, Max.
You couldn't have been no Jokic. Look, gas you like that. You bought into that? How could you have been Jokic? That's all right. Being Kendrick Perkins is pretty good. A lot of people are trading with you. What's your boy's name, Perk?
Who is that?
Your boy, your son.
Kingston.
Yeah,
Stone.
Stone. Oh, listen. It's going to be better to be Stone, though. Something tells me he's going to be able to write his own ticket. WWE, yep. NFL, whatever he wants to do. I put him in the WWE right now. All right. Anyone who doesn't know Kendrick Perkins' son, Stone, go check the clips. He's like 6 years old, walking down the basketball court like he's about to get in there with the Big Show. That was the great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. You can see him all over all of ESPN's platforms. You know what he can do. And what he can't be no Jokic. Can't believe you fell for that one. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him at Kendrick Perkins. It is time for Progressive's MLB Snapshot here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Opening day is here. We've got a quadruple header on ESPN underway right now. And tonight, Astros A's right here on ESPN Radio. Coverage begins at 9 p.m. Eastern. MLB Snapshot is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. McShay's latest mock draft is out. I'll tell you about an ugly trend I'm noticing when it comes to quarterbacks. Racial. Here's good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now, and my computer career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Justin Fields is not falling, but he doesn't feel like a lock to be the second pick, which is what it felt like he was before this season began.
He's a victim of Ohio State black quarterbacks not doing well, period. Like, it's no other way to say it.
I love what Justin Fields brings to the table. 3 years we've seen him play. We've never seen him lose a game in the Big Ten. He ran a 4.4, 230 pounds. To me, this is everything you want in a quarterback.
McShay's latest mock is out. Tell you about a trend I'm noticing. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Got opening day plans. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Todd McShay has released his 4.0 mock draft. No surprise at 1-2. That everyone knew Trevor Lawrence was going to be 1. For a long time, though, people were saying Justin Fields is like 1A. Now that seems to be Zach Wilson. But Todd has Mac Jones as the next quarterback taken off the board, going third overall to the Niners, which it's perplexing to me. I'll tell you why in a second. The Pats trading up to 11 for Justin Fields after he falls out of the top 10. The reason this is perplexing to me about Mac Jones is unless you have information that Atlanta would have taken him to be the heir apparent to Matt Ryan, why would you trade up to 3? I don't understand. It seems to me, you know, you didn't have to trade all that draft capital to go up to 3 to take Mac Jones if you're San Francisco. unless you think that Atlanta was going to, you know, replace Matt Ryan eventually and make that pick now. I don't know. And some teams, like Cincinnati, doesn't need a quarterback. Next quarterback needy team is Carolina. You didn't have to trade with San Francisco. Or sorry, trade up to three with the Jets if you're San Francisco to get Mac Jones. At any rate, Diana Russini, who's just doing a phenomenal job, ESPN NFL reporter on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on why Justin Fields' stock seemed out of the top 10 in the latest mock, seems to be falling.
I have heard that some of the concerns about him, and concerns maybe is a little too much of a dramatic word, but some of the issues that have come up is he may hold the ball a little past his first read. And when you watch him play at Ohio State, you see that. But he's being compared to guys like Mac Jones, who seems to be a little slightly more sophisticated in that space. So I think that's something that's being discussed. But I still think he's one of these quarterbacks that a team is going to be able to take.
That was Diana Russini. And by the way, you could see, and I'm going to get to the big point in a second, how careful she was to, in terms of her phrasing, comparing the quarterback skills of Justin Fields to Mac Jones. And I think there's a reason for that. And I think, I'm going to get into it in a second. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I want to have Dominic Foxworthy on the show tomorrow, on the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Because I heard him debating this on Get Up this morning. And he was talking about coded language when it comes to quarterback evaluation. And it gets tricky because quarterback is a cerebral position. And it may be true that Justin Fields is not as good going through his progressions as some other quarterback like Mac Jones. And it stands to Mac Jones can't move around like Justin Fields. Doesn't have as big an arm as Justin Fields. He's where he is because he better be able to read defenses and stuff really, really well. But I wanted to say something about this, and we'll have Foxy on tomorrow to talk about it. What I have noticed in the NFL draft, sometimes it turns out that, oh, that was the right call, sometimes the wrong call. But someone has to say it. White quarterbacks seem to ascend in terms of draft position, where everyone thinks they're going to go, where they wind up going, and black quarterbacks tend to fall. How else do you say it? And sometimes it's true, right? Like sometimes Daniel Jones, oh, that's a reach at six, Daniel Jones. What about Dwayne Haskins? And he goes later on in the first round. And that turned out to be right. Daniel Jones, so far, from what we've seen, is a better quarterback than Dwayne Haskins. That was the proper evaluation. Daniel Jones is the more mobile, you know, guy who seems to read defenses better than Dwayne Haskins, who had a thin resume, a very, very good one at Ohio State, but a thin one. And, okay, that time it worked out all right. Still, the white quarterback ascended, the black quarterback fell in the draft. Notice when Mitch Trubisky got drafted, the white quarterback ascended and Patrick Mahomes, and it was really Deshaun Watson who fell. Black quarterback fell. Lamar Jackson. Say, you know, you look at his draft. White quarterbacks ascended, black quarterback fell. Sometimes it turns out, no, they were right. And then you could point to Kyler Murray and say, well, he didn't really ascend. He was the consensus number one pick for a good long while. And they, in fact, took him first. I'm talking about when a guy's draft stock at quarterback tends to rise, and when it tends to fall, there is a racial correlation. Sometimes it turns out that the evaluation of the quarterbacks were correct. Sometimes it was incorrect. But I can't think of too many examples where the white quarterback's draft stock fell and the black quarterback's draft stock rose. I'm talking about in the first round of the draft. Doesn't seem to me, unless this is selective perception on my part, doesn't seem to me to happen a whole lot. So in terms of the evaluation of Justin Fields, it may turn out to be correct. Maybe Mac Jones is going to be a great quarterback and Justin Fields won't be. And maybe it'll be for the reasons people are saying. But I hear Dominic Foxworth when he says coded language about, and by the way, Diana Russini is simply reporting what she's hearing. This is not her evaluation. She's reporting what she's hearing. But I understand Foxy's point, if that is indeed his point. We're going to have him on the show tomorrow to talk about it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot to get into. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier. With more than 30 coverage options available, Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com. Someone just set an impressive world record. What kind of world record could I set? That's a good question. That's a good question. Find out next. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Baseball is back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
McShay's latest mock is out. Tell you about a trend I'm noticing. I already said that, Raj. You did it again to me. Let me tell you what Raj Groves just did. I'll tell you about myself. Max Kellerman here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
No. We must first, here's why you're throwing this off. B and I keep playing this wonderful song for you, and you're not even just acknowledging it while we're playing it, what the date is, and it's, you know, we've been waiting to do this since August, and I always forget, and I finally do it,
April
and you just
Fools.
Keep talking over it.
April Fools, what?
We're playing Bone Thugs. It's the first of the month. It's the first of the
month.
Yeah,
I understand.
We play 12 times a year.
I understand, but
do okay, you understand? We're not sure you did.
No, I think you're playing a joke on me. Let me tell the audience what's going on.
No. Well, the real people, those that get it.
The real G's understand.
Let me explain to everybody
what's going on. The real G's that are listening.
Let me explain to everyone what's going on. Raj knows that my one weakness is that I will read whatever's in prompter. I'm otherwise a perfect human being. But in that one respect, I have a delightful personality, a wonderful sense of humor, an incredible CPU, capable of astounding feats of logic, and not only that, but delightful flights of imagination. Mm. And yet, as a host, I have one fatal flaw. Anything that is in prompter, I will read. And I won't even be aware of what I'm saying. I'm much like Will Ferrell in Anchorman. You can get me to say anything. And because it's April Fool's, Raj puts in the prompter, because I'm on a Zoom screen. I'm in New York, and Raj is in L.A., and Brendan is in Connecticut. These are still the COVID days, a lot of, you know, doing things remotely. And Raj puts in the prompter when we're talking about Dominique Foxworth. Dominic Foxworthy. I was unaware. This is the God's honest truth. I was unaware I called him Dominic Foxworthy until after the segment. When
that's
I was
boy,
informed
though.
That I was calling him Dominic Foxworthy the whole time. So you win, Raj. That's great. April Fool's. Very funny. Then you play me it's the first of the month and tell me that's not about April Fool's. Right after you got me on the prompter. And then when we came into this segment, you got me again because you put in the prompter last segment's introduction. And like a fool, I just read it.
Well, we were too busy working out the song again because B and I have been trying to do this since August, since we've been on, and we always forget the first of the month. We finally remember, and you just keep, Max Kellerman Show, and you don't say anything about it.
A 54-year-old man, Budimir Buda Sobot of Croatia, just set a world record by holding his breath for over 24 minutes. I think he may have passed away, guys. Are you sure that I understand. In other words, did he die 24 minutes ago, or did he in fact start breathing again after the 24 minutes? And did he experience brain damage? You can't hold your breath for 24 minutes! What stupid record could I set? Is that what we're asking here? I can't think of a single world record. World's handsomest man? Perhaps. That is true. Okay, fine. World's greatest host? Okay, fine. That's two. Two records I could set. But you mean things that can be proven objectively, don't you, Raj?
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe longest time looking in the mirror.
I can't think of any record I could set, really.
Most consecutive words said incorrectly off a Zoom screen?
Yep, probably. That's probably true. First of all, Brendan, you're wearing a Mets jersey. You should not be discussing anything at any point with anyone today.
Yeah, we just locked up Lindor, ready to go.
$341 million over 10 years. I like Lindor. He's a good player. He's a very good defender, very good power hitter, a good base stealer. I can't think of one thing I would say Lindor is great at. Maybe power hitting. If you hit 38 home runs and you're a shortstop, that's a great power hitter, I suppose. But just like pure out-of-context greatness from Lindor, give me one area where you would say, yeah, he's great at that. He's a very good defender. Is he a great defender?
He's great at taking over New York City.
He's very good. He's great at getting $300-plus million. Stephen A. and I were just talking on the like during a commercial break. Stephen A. is like, he turned down 10 years, 325. I'm like, damn, I don't know about that, Lindor. 10 years. I wouldn't give you 10 years. But he does have this. And then he got 341, got another $16 million. This is what Lindor has, and now he wanted the biggest contract of all time, so he got it by $1 million. He has a broad base of skills at still a relatively young age. It reminds me of Carlos Beltran when the Mets signed him. When you can do a lot of things very well, you tend to age well, but still a 10-year deal. It's not like Lindor's 24. You're going to be old when that contract is up.
By the way, Gerrit Cole just gave up a home run. Continue.
Gerrit Cole gave up a home run? Just shut up, Brendan. I hate you. All I know is Gary Sanchez hit one. What's the score? My beloved
Yankees. 2-2.
2-2. All right. Kevin in Illinois, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. You were talking about quarterbacks, black quarterbacks, mm-hmm. falling through the draft process and mm-hmm. falling in the draft, and mm-hmm. you were trying to think of a white quarterback that did so?
No. What I'm saying, no. Of course, white quarterbacks sometimes fall in the draft. What I'm saying is sometimes people are right about the evaluation and sometimes wrong. But the correlation I consistently notice is that black quarterbacks fall in the draft below where they're anticipated to be in the early mock drafts, and white quarterbacks rise versus black quarterbacks. That's what I'm saying. Of course, you can find white quarterbacks who've fallen in the draft throughout history. Lakers lost again, but may have bigger issues. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.